I'll have to think about, there are so much things happening there, how can I turn this into, not just as another way to communicate, but actually people, through this network, through this infrastructure, they can have some value to their life, right? Again, it's not just there, we just use another way to communicate. Okay, so I will say there are one thing from a traditional way, you will say, okay, I just pull the data from the source, right? So I do data mining. I want to assimilate this data and I get as much as I can, right? So I'm doing data mining. I get all the people's tag in there and then I get it. And people help me check the image. I get it, right? And then the next thing is dissemination of knowledge. I use this network. So once I mine something, you see Twitter, now people use that as a way to advertise, to distribute the message. The new things, new product coming out. And then so it's kind of dissemination. And the other thing I think is also now it's kind of very starting to come out, like where we say about this CAPTCHA, right? So now you elicitation of this knowledge. The computer not only patiently actually waiting for you to input something or push something to you, but it acts specifically acts information from you. So when you go in some time, it asks you for these puzzle things. You type in something, you solve some problems for them, okay? And so this is, and if you go to, some site like Baidu Zhidao, it's a very popular Chinese question answering site. A lot of questions actually is not typed in by some user like you and me. Actually, there are some internally they create a question and post there, and then ask your opinion. So maybe there are some events. So there is news event program, right? And then they want your opinion, so they post a question there, and then they get your input from there. So it's not only the machine go there to mine the data and push the data to you, but the machine now they can ask questions automatically, autonomously, to do something. So this is a kind of very interesting aspect, I find. Okay, now the other thing, I think it's kind of coming very well, right? So Irvin ends his talk about nobody know who are you. You are a dog at the internet. But I mean, remember this in the Wizard of Oz, right? So he said that pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. Right, but then I think the big problem now in social computing, you really have to pay attention to the man behind the curtain. You don't know, you have to find out, there's so much information you think is trustworthy, but you have to find out who is this guy. The messenger is very important, maybe more important than the message. So that's why I say that people, in the people plus content network, we know the content, we can deal with the content, we know the network, we can know how to pass the things, but we don't know how to deal with this. Another dimension of people. So I think that is big issues there. I personally, doesn't have a, I mean, we started thinking about maybe we can use the traditional way to quantify trustworthy. And you saw there's a lot of social sites try to use the human knowledge to rate experts and trustworthiness. But some of you know, once it gets some traction, if people know there's a social capital to gain, they will start to spend the systems. So there always has something. So I think this. I said, pay attention to the man behind the curtain is very important. Okay. Now, so I just give you some statistics about this things. In Baidu Zhidao is a very popular Q&A site, you know. And this data is like 2 years ago. Now they get about 15 million, 70 million question answer pay. And then I think Ed is there that there was a Tianya Wenda. It's another Baidu's Google's product. They're also very popular in China. Okay, the reason why it's so popular is because, I mean, although the infrastructure-wise or the technology-wise, the internet happened in China kind of later, right? But then the people's need is the same. I mean, it doesn't matter if I live in the States or I live in China or I live in Japan. The things I want to know, I want to find out, is the same. The problem is in China, there are not so much rich content as in English. You can find the things you want. So there's a need there, so that's why the Baidu Zhidao is so much useful. Now they ask a question, there are some people have knowledge to give you the answers. So it's so popular, getting so popular, it increases, I think the increasing rate about 100%, 70 to 100% over a year. So this the traffic of this type of knowledge is very, very, very much. So these things that, okay, it will change the search in some space. Okay, if I type in the questions and then I got a response in 3 seconds, I don't really want to search, right? I get someone a good answer. I don't really want to search. So I think this something has some very kind of game-changing time. You really can optimize this network, and then it will become very, very interesting things. Okay. And then kind of statistics. Okay, so once Baidu doing this, about 50% of users search Baidu Zhidao. Actually, their main business is still search, but half of those person also use this knowledge service. Okay, so become it actually as popular as their original MP3 search. As you, if you know the history of Baidu, the original, why it's so popular? Because you can search MP3 music, and it's very, very big, very big thing for them. So these things become their second largest traffic right now. Okay, so in China and also I think in Japan, in other Asian countries, this Q&A service become very, very popular. And this I think is a very knowledge. I mean, from Yahoo also, Yahoo Answers very popular. Okay, so I want to summarize a little bit for this section, and I will talk about some specific application we do in Microsoft. Okay, so I think if you use a knowledge type of things, you go to the web, and then you really has a question, you express it in a query, and then you type into the search box. And you see 10 links, and then you try to find the things you want. Okay, this is the way we know, right? But there are other dimensions. You go to the forums, and you know you can ask a question, and your friend in the community might be able to give you an answer. But maybe not, because you go to the forum, somebody doesn't just go chat, right? So there's some function, but you go to some place other than just general web, you can get something different from just web and search results. But this is not only that. Recently, like I said, Q&A is more structured, right? So you go there, the reason you go there, you have a question, and you want to get this answer of the questions, right? So we have forums for many, many years. Okay, it's not a new thing. But then people kind of, because the web are 2.0, now they make another mechanism. Now they know in the forum it's such a mess. So now they put in the reputation system, rating system, say, okay, now if you want to ask questions, not only the user can go there, vote which is a good answer, or even good question or not, they can change the things. So it becomes from the semi-structured Q&A, you go there, you don't know if you can find someone to answer it. But in Q&A, they even push you or give you incentive, right? So, okay, if you come here and answer this question, I give you some money back or some credit or some points, so you can use that to do something else, right? So that things really trigger this, also to boost this service. But really, I mean, if you like, create an FAQ, right, so whatever you want to ask is there. You don't really need to go to Q&A, just do a search. And then you can see a lot of things. This is not, I don't think this is a dream, right? If you go to some company site, and then you buy a brand new iPhone or something, and you have problems, you go to their FAQ site, and you probably can see something that already people asked about, right? How can I update my something? And you don't really need to go somewhere else. So if I push this everything there and become an FAQ, then it's pretty much make something very easy. But then from here to there, there's a lot of things you can do. Like how do you utilize people, how do you monitor things? And then I think the other thing is people, content, and network. Right? So it's not just content and network anymore. It's really the people has some way in all the business. So I think that's why the social web and social media is very, very interesting to us. Now, I want to give you a kind of quick overview of one thing we did, my colleague, not me, in Microsoft. So it's we call GeoLife 2.0, build social network using human location history. So this, my colleague going to present his work in Triple W 2009. So that basic idea is by Yu Zhen, Xin Xie, and Wei Ma. And so the idea is actually, right now you have a lot of devices that has GPS, right? Your phone now getting more GPS, your car has GPS, and some people, your digital camera has GPS, and some people buy this GPS geotagging device, going with them and go anywhere, right? How can you leverage this type of data, okay? So it's a location history-based GPS data-driven social network service. This is the goal. This is the thing we want to build. Okay, and then what do? We enable people to build a connection through their GPS trajectory. So to form a community, you have something similar. You have to make them. So I can collect my social data. I can collect my GPS data. But how can I, does this data can help me to social with someone? Okay, I think they're already in the internet, some I'll talk about later, enable you to do sharing of the GPS trajectory. Okay. And through that, through their trajectory, you can understand the user by their behavior, their trajectory. And then because the GPS tied to the location, so you can use that also to understand location. If I come to every time this conference, not always 10 out of 5 conferences happen in Shanghai and not in Beijing, so maybe Shanghai is a better place for conference. So those kind of things. So you have some kind of semantic attached to their locations, right? And then you want to explore. If I have not only one people and one location, the other one, can I find some similar behavior through this trajectory among people because they visit similar place? So if I, Irvin and me, always go to a similar conference, then maybe we are working on the same thing, similar, although we don't know each other, right? And then so about location correlation, the same thing, okay. So maybe people go to Mexico Cancun for all the conference. So you know maybe Cancun is a beautiful place. So that's why so many people go there. Okay, so to do that, as I say, content, people and content, people, how do you collect this data? Okay, so we actually have 60 devices and 138 users, and this experiment ran 1 year, 1 year. And then from May 2007 to now, and this is the data, right? So there are people like age less than 22, 25, 26, 29, above 30, right? And then there are we our own employee and then other employee, other company, government staff, and college students. How do we do that? We contract this out to some vendor company, and then we give them a spec, this is what we want. And then there's some incentive for this for those people to wear this GPS device here. So the clause is like this. You wear this longer, you have more longer logging, more distance, then you get more money. Okay, so you will see people go to Japan, go to Korea, and then so get a lot of data from there. Okay, and then so in Israel, we get about 10 plus million GPS points, 260 million kilometers, 30-60 cities in China, and a few cities in US and Korea and Japan. Okay, and I say, okay, this is for our experiment, but then you can also go to some sites here on internet. They do provide this GPS data. The people do share their data. For example, a biker, the Bikely, because if you like bike, you really need to know the trail, and then you are new, you don't know where to go. I really want to do action, but then I don't know where to go. So they, now you have this GPS data that you can share. Okay, this is the route you go, and then if you have that, it's great. Okay, so if you don't have the people and the device do this, but you still can get data from other places, okay? And the other thing is, we own this data, so we also have, I think there's also opportunity to have some collaborations. If you are interested, you can send me emails and I forward to the right guy you can talk to them, okay? Now, so the thing here is, first, the first version actually I say, you have to, using these data to know something about this person, right? For example, where does he go, and then he can write, where do he go, and then you can do, the live blogging means if I have a GPS, I go somewhere, right? When I come back, I have taking pictures. And with this, you know, a lot of people now go to trip, they come back, and then they associate with the geotagging, with their photo, and then there's a pro virtual Earth or Google Earth, they have this trip route, and then you can go there and see, where do I go, right? So we have to first build this for each individual users. Now, the second one is, okay, once you use data, then you say, okay, can I do something like, if I have someone I don't know, they go to some similar trail, similar places, so can I use this data to recommend friends you don't know, right? And the other thing is, if these guys go to some place so often, maybe I can recommend locations. Okay, so these are two things. You have locations, I can recommend. If you have similar we are similar type of person, go to similar place, maybe we can be friends. If you go to the similar place, so if you are in an expert or you are in this area so frequently, maybe I can recommend some location you didn't go before. Okay. Now, then when you have multiple data, you want to identify interesting location from them, right? Because single user cannot do that. You have multiple users, you can do that. And then you can do, where do they go? If I come to Shanghai, where should be next place to visit? I mean, everyone say maybe Suzhou, maybe Hangzhou, right? So, I mean, this just come up with this recommendation, right? But then, can we do that automatically, right? And then, can we identify experienced user, right? Is this, go to a lot, what we mean is experience means he go to a lot of places, visit a lot of places. He do go a lot of conference, and he'll tell you, oh, I know the best place for conference is Hawaii or somewhere, okay? And then, so, multi-user data. So once we have that, this is what Zheng Yuan and his colleague, he's going to present in the WeWiWare 2.9, GO5 2.0. Right, so what you can do is like, how do we do that, right? So first, you have geo data, you have to clustering, because GPS data is a point, right? So you have to find some place, actually, they are clustering them by density, otherwise you have the sparseness problem. If I'm here, and then urban is there, there are two different points, right? So, but then we have to have someone to say, okay, these are really close, right? So we can have this point, right? And then you have point of entry, and you have user, and the user visit different places, right? And then through the place they visit, they might have you can identify some correlation between the users, right? And once you do that, you can find, if you can identify this, then you can say, okay, I know some places are interesting, and some guys visit some place, visit those interesting places, and those interesting places are visited by those important people, then I create some kind of expert network through this map. And at the same time, through their trajectory on this map, from this side to the other side, I can know some potential trail, something sequence on the cities. So I think this is very, I mean, a lot of people come to Shanghai, they don't know where to go. So I think this is very timely actually to show this, right? And then you can use this to understand people, similar user, friend recommendations, experienced user, trail experts recommendations, group user, community discovery, and so on. So the location, you can do the similar things. So the idea is to actually put this in a mobile device. So you come to Shanghai, and then you have experience, and I know you would like to visit some scenic place or history museum, and then if you have some information to you, and you know, okay, there are some guy here, local, also have this kind of interest, so you may be connect. You may be able to connect. Or even before you come, you search on the internet and say, okay, there's one guy in Shanghai actually has similar hobby as me, then I come here, I can social with them before I come. Okay, so this is the idea. So this detail, how do you do that? GPS log, we have to find a staying point, because GPS log at this point, you have to find out where are they here, and then we mine the location history, and then we become a history, become a sequence of staying point, then we can do some path mining, okay, and then do the sequence. So for a single user, you find their staying point, right, and then you can find a hierarchy crossing. Okay, then you can identify. And one thing I want to mention is, because this is a GPS point is very small, and you can have many different, for example, you have big picture about Shanghai, right? And then you can have, inside Shanghai you have Wai Tan, you have Bang, and then you have central Hongqiao area, you have Minhang area, and then so you can have one thing, and then you have small thing, and then you can even small thing, right? So you can have hierarchical distribution of these geolocations. And then another guy comes here, he can mine the same thing, another route. Okay, I don't want to go, so if you have multiple of the user, then you can actually do the things I say, mining location interesting, and detecting classical travel sequence, and so on and so forth. Okay, so this is, and we have a demo, but then unfortunately it's not external accessible. Okay, so this is the result while we mine UI, and then this is actually in Beijing, and it will tell you this is some interesting place in Beijing. Okay. If you are familiar with Beijing's map, you have at least five rings you can see, normally see the circling Beijing. The five rings, the freeways circling Beijing city, city of Beijing. And then this is our point actually mined through these users, okay, a year's time. And then one thing here, actually they build this demo is, okay, this is the most popular route. And then you can you can replay the route run by other people, and then actually show the picture you took along the way. Okay, and then so if you go to Beijing and you want to see the most, you want to see what is the route suggestion, you can actually see this and see what you might be able to see along the trail. Okay. Now I want to summarize. Social web, well, I think it's important to have its three components, the people, the content, and network. Okay, and I think the people part is we really pay less attention, at least from my side. Okay, we always focus on data mining, algorithm, and we don't pay attention about how to deal with people, how that factor can be put in. So I think that is one place I want to put more emphasis later. And then the social web, how do we do that to turn that into value for people? Once you get the data, Okay, we want to push the data, you want to request the data automatically from users. Okay, help us. And then the other thing I want to say, pay attention to that man behind the curtains. You really need to know who said that word, not just trust it. And then there are references here, and then a slide I think I'll give to Urban. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Unless there's a really urgent question, maybe we should just leave it until the panel session afterwards. Okay, is there any urgent questions that you want to resolve? No? Okay. Why don't we do this? So we have Kang Yu from Yahoo Research. Perfect.
Oh, I have it.